they can all look around inside of Zuckerberg's office and see what's going on. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about Facebook VR. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Okay, so I gotta say, we kind of nailed this.
Yeah, we kind of did.
Yeah.
I kind of now understand why they didn't buy Second Life.
Right. Exactly. So, dear listener, what we're talking about, I'll let you in on the secret, is that at the recent Oculus conference, which I believe was the third Oculus conference, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg got on stage and demoed Facebook VR, which was pretty mind-blowing, I have to say.
Yeah, it was kind of the oasis.
Yeah, I mean, for folks who read Ready Player One by Ernest Cline, you would see, you'd recognize the chat room of the Oasis, like basically the Oasis. Like that's what they're building. In fact, I think we've said this on the show, but I read that Ernest Cline learned that Facebook actually, I can't remember if it was Facebook or Oculus, but they used to hand out free copies of his book to new employees and be like, this is what we're building.
Yeah, I think it was Oculus, yeah.
And man, they are building it. It's, as of course, as you can imagine, with Facebook, it's an extremely social virtual reality experience that's quite unlike anything you would have seen with, say, like a Google Cardboard so far. We're really just watching 360 videos or looking at 360 still photos.
Yeah, this is highly, highly interactive.
Yep. And the thing that really blew my mind was the amount of sort of mashup ability in it. So to give you an idea, you know, Zuck puts on that, the head, you know, the Oculus, like the headset, and he's got, they didn't, I didn't see it except for inside VR, but he had on some kind of wrist controller.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was real or if it was just on the avatar and like a representation of,
Right.
Do you make your avatar interact with it to do something or?
Or did in real life, did he actually have something on his wrist? Or does it matter? So what was cool about it was, you know, so it starts off like a chat. So you can imagine a Facebook Messenger chat where you and two other people are having like a text-based conversation. Or you can imagine a three-way conference call, say on Skype or something, where you're having, you know, an audio call with two other people. Or Google Hangout where you're having a video call with three people. So this was kind of like the level up from that. So if you go text to audio to video, and then this was like VR, where inside the VR there was like a, there's like a virtual table, and then there's the the two other avatars, which were decidedly cartoony, but
not in a way that was bothersome.
Not in a way that was bothersome, because they, their facial expressions were being mapped, which made a huge difference. So, you know, like on a Google Hangout where you would sort of see everybody's faces, and you know, if you're the one that is talking or if you're listening, and you can watch the facial expressions of the other people on the call who maybe aren't talking to get an idea of their level of engagement, or if they're confused, or if they have a question that they're getting ready to ask, if something else is happening in their environment that's distracting. So you get a lot of additional information through the video feed, and it was like that here, but a level beyond that, because they could set the environment kind of like, they could move where the table was, you know? So they're sitting around this table and they would then switch, kind of like, it's kind of like the background that's normally you would say behind them, but it's like all around everyone.
Yeah. It's like the world sphere that they're sitting in.
Yeah, exactly. It's like sitting in a room.
At one point it kind of looked like Mark just pulled something out of his watch, like a bubble out of his watch, and showed it over his head, and that became the new world.
Yeah, wasn't that, as a cool little user experience?
Yeah, it was a cool little transition.
Yeah, and it made this noise like, boom. And then now all of a sudden you're in his office. So presumably he's got a live 360 cam streaming from the inside of his office, which has glass walls. So the three people are now all privy to that same environment. So it's not like they're seeing a different background. Like they can all look around inside of Zuckerberg's office and see what's going on outside the office, which is so crazy. Like if you, if
yeah,
you like
really,
if you let that sink in, it's very much like they're there. you know, or they can, you know, they get that extra bit of information from the environment. So it's not like you're just seeing the facial expressions, which you are and is beneficial, but you can also look around and he could refer to things by pointing to them like that over there. So you can imagine if there was a, you know, actual physical people in the room also, you could have the physical people in the room in VR. You could have the people who aren't physically in the room in VR. And then after that, he pulled in a normal video feed from, I think it was his wife.
I think so.
Normal Facebook Messenger video feed. He pulled it in and it was almost like she was almost like on a TV in the VR room.
I was surprised at how well that sort of integrated into the VR space that they had created. Because, I mean, yeah, I'd seen HoloLens demos before where they're like, oh, we're going to put this 2D window over here. And like, oh, we need this wall to stick it on and that kind of thing. And it just, it didn't really seem like it all fit together well.
Yeah.
But this was, it was kind of like just, you know, you pull out a card and then there's your 2D image on it, but you can flip it around, you can move it, you can put it somewhere in anywhere you want within that VR space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wild. And of course they had some sort of flashy stuff like they could, it's almost like the VR version of stickers where they could pull out stuff. You know, like the yeah. One of the other people pulled out a lightsaber and Zuckerberg pulled out a foil, you know, like a fencing foil. And they sort of did a quick little.
Yeah. And the other guy pulled out a marker and drew a sword.
Right. So you can. Yeah. So it's like marking up an image, annotating an image, but they're like annotating in 3D space. And it was like, oh, my God. I mean, it was really like the thing that really blew me away was the mashup, like how much stuff that they pulled in into this space and in a way that's very inclusive, you know, so like not everybody needs to have a VR headset to participate in the space. Like they're going to,
right.
Maybe not as good of an experience, but they can
at least still join in.
Yeah. They can be a fly on the wall and see what's going on. And maybe they can't duel because they don't have all that stuff, but they can at least watch the duel. At one point they pulled out a deck of cards and a chessboard and they didn't actually play, mm-hmm. but they could have. And even like talk about meta, at one point he pulls out a virtual selfie stick with a virtual phone on it and takes right. a selfie of him and the TV screen of his wife, which then he immediately shares to Facebook, which shows up as like another card in 3D space.
Yeah.
It was like, oh man. So you really, you know, you really get the sense of presence and context and space. And I mean, it's just like,
it was
wow.
wild.
Yeah, it was really wow. And so that's, you know, back to Kelly's introductory comment saying that, oh, but, you know, that's why they didn't buy Second Life, because this is about 1,000 times better than Second Life. I mean, it was crazy.
Pulls a lot of the real world into VR more, whereas Second Life is just entirely computer generated.
Right.
Virtual everything.
Right. It almost felt like some hybrid of VR and AR.
Yeah, it did.
Because there's so many live video feeds, like not everything was cartoony, even though it was all digital still, it wasn't actual overlaid up over the real mm-hmm. world in real space, but it was the real world included or a feed of the real world included in this kind of cartoony VR space. Like, wow, you know, you can really see that, you know, compared to a plane ticket or compared to a Google Hangout, this would be a very, very... I mean, maybe intimate's pushing it, but it's a much more intimate experience, much more connected experience than, you know, a hangout or a conference call or something like that.
Just the fact that, I mean, even if you are both sharing the same VR space, just the fact that you can see each other and see the real, like the space that you're both, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That you're both inhabiting. It's, you can see the other person there experiencing it with you.
Mm-hmm.
That is really cool. And this got me to thinking, I guess with Oculus Touch coming out, I guess this would work, have a lot of integration with Oculus Touch, but also with the room scale VR that they're talking about doing with the additional sensors and stuff, which I assume is going to be similar to what the Vive is doing. But this made me think, if they're talking about room scale VR, are you going to just be able to like pull other people into your living room?
Yeah. So can you describe those two gadgets a little bit? Because I think you know more about it than I do.
Yeah, the Oculus Touch is basically just wireless hand controllers, kind of like the Nunchuck. Like, think of just the Nunchuck for the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, but it's got some additional sensors and things around it and controls and stuff on it. And they're wireless and you hold them in your hand and use it to interact with things in the VR space.
Mm.
as opposed to just using like an Xbox controller that you can also do.
Hmm. And what was the other thing, the room sense or something?
Yeah, the sensor to give you sort of the room scale VR spaces. Vive does this already where they've got, I think it's 3 sensors that you set up at different points in your room, and it sort of triangulates and gets a feel for like, you know, the scale of the room and the stuff and obstacles in the way and that sort of thing, and kind of pulls that into your VR space. If you're walking around, it says, oh, you're getting close to a wall here. You don't want to walk into it, that kind of thing.
Okay, so that's really interesting, because I thought that the external room sensors were for head tracking, so that they were better head tracking than the internal gyroscopic head tracking.
They map the space, and it's not gyroscopic head tracking, actually. I think it uses lasers.
More like a LiDAR type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's the Oculus quote-unquote camera. It's not a video capture camera. It's infrared tracking.
Hmm. Okay, so that's interesting, because one of the things they didn't do in the Facebook demo was move around.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they moved their arms. They didn't move to a different position. So I'm imagining, man, that's weird. So
yeah.
you could imagine you being in your living room and sending the feed of your room to someone else who is hopefully in a bigger room with fewer obstacles, right? And you could both be moving around in that same virtual space, which for you is actually real,
mm-hmm.
but for them is not.
For them is virtual. Yeah, and the way the Vive does it, like if you're up walking around somewhere, well, not somewhere, in your room, if you're up walking around in your room wearing the Vive headset and you start to get close to an obstacle, then you'll get like a little red line in the VR display that's just to let you know, hey, you're getting close to a physical something in the real world, so you don't, you know, go walking into things.
All right, so this is like, I didn't even think about this, like moving around in the space. I was picturing applications like, you know, sitting on your couch or like watching bad movie night with people who mm-hmm. weren't there, and you could both, that was one of the demos they had where they pulled up a video. And I mean, theoretically, you could go into like Netflix in here and pull up like a Gigundo video and just put it like huge.
Yeah. And everybody could sit down and watch it together.
Right. And they could see what each person, like you could look to your left and see someone who isn't there on the real couch, but appears to be sitting there on the real couch. And you can see if they're paying attention or if they're eating popcorn or, you know, if they've gone to the bathroom or whatever. I mean, not gone to the bathroom right there.
But. Yeah, you can't. I don't think the avatars are that in-depth.
So that, the idea of being able to move around. So now if you think of like Pokemon Go, where you move your character by actually walking, is that like what games currently exist in VR that you're supposed to, I wouldn't think that you're supposed to walk around too much.
No, because you're still going to have the limitations of the physical room that you're in.
Right.
But I think, for instance, games like, say like a golf game, you could stand up and actually swing.
Yep.
As opposed to using a controller.
Yeah, or like any kind of dueling and that sort of thing.
Boxing or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like some of the Wii stuff.
Yeah.
Originally, where you're supposed to sort of stay where you are, but in the room warnings are more about like, whoa, you're getting off track here.
Mm-hmm.
Than overlaying a game world on your room, although I'm sure that would be cool. Huh. Okay, so some of the sort of ties into another thing that we were boggled our minds recently, which was that, you know, the avatars, that they have expressions and you can see when they're laughing or smiling or frowning or whatever, or surprised. That's super helpful. But if they were more realistic, it would be even better.
I do have to say it's a little jarring to have like a cartoony avatar and then surrounded by a real world video feed.
Yeah, it was strange.
Yeah.
So what would be cool is if, you know, I've seen these too, where somebody can take, you know, you stand in this inside at the center of this huge camera array and they take a mm-hmm. picture of you from every possible angle, and then you can use it as an avatar and it's really, really accurate looking.
Yeah.
And you just dug up that that story about the Japanese couple that made, what was her name, Suki or something?
I don't remember. I have to look it up.
Yeah, we'll have to link
to
that.
They made a girl.
Yeah, like a digital representation, you know, a cartoon, but it was so real looking.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to look closely to be like, her hair looks a little Photoshoppy at the edges. And
yeah, at first I started reading the article and they said Japanese virtual girl, and I was like, oh, okay, it's a it's a Hatsune Miku type thing, but then you get further into it, it's like, no, this is meant to look and eventually act very much like a real person, and
like indistinguishably,
yeah, to interact in a digital world, in a virtual world,
right? And then I was like, and so you sent the article, I'm reading it, and I'm like, wait a second. I scroll back to the top, and there's a picture of like a teenage girl's face at the top. I'm like, oh my god, that's it.
Yeah,
I thought that was a person. So yeah, it was you know, so you can imagine these two things kind of combining where they don't make, you know, there's perhaps a way to create, like, you can imagine a live, somehow a 360 live feed of your head, right? So like
I just had a Max Headroom flashback.
Yeah, right. Like where it's this kind of, you know, you stick your head in a camera array and it gets mapped, and then okay, that's the source, and then you apply the same sort of algorithms that they're using to animate the cartoon's faces to your actual face and kind of tween between the different states of your face, I guess. And we've seen other versions of this too, where your facial expressions can drive a live video, a recorded video of, you know, George Bush or somebody else. Mm-hmm. So theoretically it'll happen where your virtual you will look enough like you that it kind of doesn't matter.
Right.
Because again, it's like VR is good enough to trick you into feeling like you're somewhere else. And there's like a point where I assume that these avatars will get real enough that they'll trick you into feeling like the other person's there to the point where it's good enough.
It's funny because you just said they'll look like you. And I don't know if I want an avatar to look like me. I don't know that I would wish that on any avatar.
Come on.
But you could make your avatar look however you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, you can imagine.
You can already. I mean, I'm sure even if it's cartoony, I'm sure you already can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, pick up any one of the science fiction books. Yeah. It's totally like, not Snow Crash, Neuromancer, where this actually extends into the real world, where you can turn your, it's kind of like extreme plastic surgery, where you can just be like, I'm going to go with the green skin this month, like getting a haircut or getting your hair dyed, but you can do it to your skin and have like smart tattoos and get your eyes replaced.
Even in Ready Player One, one of the characters was different in real life than their avatar.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can imagine, you know, like Cooper playing Splatoon, you know, you go in and
he could be a 15-year-old guy and not a 7-year-old kid.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, and that's exactly what he does, of course. And he spends half the time getting his dude all squared away and like picking a hat that he likes and all of that stuff and like getting dressed, basically. And then he'll go play the game for a while. But he clearly has just as much fun kind of trying on these different visual personas and deciding which ones he likes better or worse.
Yeah, I love games that have... I'm not a huge gamer, but I really enjoy when a game like that does have a lot of options for character customization.
Yeah, it's like you can't not do it. You know,
right.
Even I've done it. Like, what's the Wii one?
The Miis?
Miis.
Your Mii.
Right, right. Because if you have the ability to make it kind of look like you or kind of look like what you want it to look like, you can't not do it.
Yeah. No, it's the default avatar.
Default avatar. What a loser. Yeah. So yeah. This even came up. I don't even know which. I think it was Neuromancer, actually. Who knows? Snow Crash had a similar cyberspace world. Ready Player One had the same thing. It was like, if you can look like anything, you know, and they had a name for it, like Barbies or something like that. Like where eventually, if everybody can look like, you know, the air quotes, ideal male or ideal female, then it's kind of boring. And it's much more interesting to be, I don't want to say not perfect, but you know what I mean? Like diverge from the ideal because it indicates a much more interesting personality.
Yeah. A more interesting personality than just making yourself like, you know, the cheerleader girl.
Right. Right. Exactly. Which is what I would pick. But hey, so this is like, so the Oculus stuff is supposed to be out in December.
Yes, I think they're saying shipping somewhere between December 6th and December 13th when I looked at stuff for pre-orders yesterday. So I think we're probably going to pre-order that next month.
Nice. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear I read that the minimum system requirements for the PC that's attached to it went way down.
Oh, did it? I don't know. I haven't looked.
Yeah, I'm sure I read that it's not the kind of thing I would have a dream about. Like, oh, great, the Oculus system requirements went down.
I don't know. I haven't looked at it. I know with the dev kit, it was super, super high. Like, we sank $2,500 into a computer to run the dev kit.
Yeah, I read that you can have a little bit more garden variety computer and still have a pretty good experience, and that there's a, I could be making this up, but this might have been a dream, but that it's not, there's a version that's not going to require the umbilical and it'll be truly wireless.
That would be great.
Yeah, still be driven by the computer, I guess, but it would be wireless.
I'm sure that's an eventual goal, even if you did dream it, especially if they're going to add the room tracking.
Yeah, right? Because you don't want this, like...
Tether coming out of the back of your head.
Yeah, it's not comfortable or convenient.
What if it'll work on Linux?
One can only hope.
One hopes.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't... The thing I read, it was all PC, like Windows, Windows requirements. So I don't know if even Macs are supported, to tell you the truth.
I believe Mac is supported.
All right, cool. Well, I mean, I think that the convergence of a bunch of different, I think there's a bunch of different things going on here, and the convergence is really wild. So like a high realism in the avatars, wireless computing, the wild mashup of virtual space with actual space, but all inside of VR, the social aspect.
The mapping of real space.
Yeah, I mean, oh man. It's like now that this stuff is, the sensors are basically, not cheap is an overstatement, but they're getting more and more inexpensive. They can, the consumer prices for some of the new Oculus stuff was very reasonable, a lot lower than I thought it was going to be based on the initial prices of the gear.
Yeah.
And it's like, the initial
headset purchase is still a good chunk of money.
I think it was like $700 or $800.
It's $800 for the headset and the two touch controllers.
You know, that's no joke, but I mean, that's how much an iPhone costs.
Yeah. Yeah. I was comparing the two, and I think the Oculus Rift with the Oculus Touch in addition is like, it's like one penny less than the HTC Vive.
I'm sure that's by accident.
Sorry, $1.
Well, it's cheaper. So got to buy that one. So anyway, I think this is going to be wild. And I don't remember if you've also subscribed to this, but I believe you have, which is that VR will take off first in gaming communities, which I suppose is still the case, but it's interesting to see an almost purely social take on it. I mean, they played some games in it, but it wasn't like a first person shooter or,
it wasn't a gaming platform. And I think it is interesting to see like this purely social interaction, but I don't think the social stuff will take off as much as the gaming stuff until they can bring the price down.
Right.
Or open it up to also be compatible with the less expensive headsets like the Gear VR or the new one that Google's coming out with.
Yeah. Daydream. Yeah. Yeah. It's just wild because it's coming in at all price points, and there's a bunch of different people are coming at it from a bunch of different directions, with different business models behind each one, different ultimate goals behind each one. So it seems like we're just in that phase where it's going to shake out, and we'll see where it gets traction. But the experience, even with the absolute worst one, which is Cardboard, the experience is just amazing. Like even with I bought this 360 camera, and it's just incredible. It's so different. There's nothing like it previously. You know, I can take what's it called, a Theta S, and you can take pictures or video in 360. You can even stream it, but I haven't done that yet. But when you do that, and then you just throw the phone into, you can transfer the resulting video and photos onto your phone and just put the phone on your face and like a cheap Google Cardboard and like look around. And I was in Toronto, and there's I think the street was called Queen Street, and there are a bunch of really hip little kind of crazy little shops and stuff. And so I just walked down the street taking a video of the whole thing, and you can go back and put the phone on your face and walk around like you were with me. And just look around at whatever you want. Like, it's so wild taking a picture without having to point the thing at anything.
Yeah, like, what do you do? How do you...
Yeah, you just hold it up in the air and press the button. It doesn't matter which way it's pointing.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, so it's like, choose, you know, unlike typical photography or video where the person who is holding the phone or the camera decides what the viewer is going to look at in large part, the, you know, at capture time, you can't and don't have to make that decision. You just start capturing and then the viewer can decide where they want to look. The thing they can't do is decide where they want to go.
Yeah, it's the thing they can't do is pick which direction they're walking in.
Yeah, that's and in fact, I think that's the sort of obvious next step for the at least the social Facebook experience is like, how do we get to a place where you can move around, virtually move around in an actual space? So you get a live 360 degree feed of like a soccer stadium. And we're going to go to a basketball game. It's so much easier for me to picture. So go, you want to go to the basketball game? And so the NBA or whoever, the Boston Celtics, they set up a couple seats courtside with like a Theta cam with a live feed, and they could sell tickets to tap into the feed. And so like you and your friends could be sitting in a room in that, but your eyeballs are in that chair and you can all look around in any direction at any time. It's like, but now how do I get out onto the court? Like, I want to walk out onto the court or like float above the court and like follow, you know, I want to say Michael Jordan, he's the last basketball player whose name I know, you know, like follow him down the court and be like, you know, how do you do that? How do you get that thing moving around? Cause drones aren't the solution. And I don't know, it needs to be some kind of triangulated thing.
Let's start strapping cameras on all the players.
Yeah. They do that in Formula One racing. All the cars have like a live feed coming out of the guy's helmet.
Mm.
And you can switch from car to car to hear what's going on. I think it's Formula One. I could be wrong, but it is like that. So like it'd be cool. Like in the NFL, get so much gear on. Like why not throw a helmet cam on there? And
probably because they'd break a lot of helmet cams.
That's probably true, and probably you'd hear a lot of swearing. but yeah, I mean, pretty soon it's like you could easily imagine people, you know, like the NBA selling virtual seats with 360 cams that people just logged into with Oculus headsets or whatever kind of headset, and they could sit there and, you know, look to the right, there's Jack Nicholson.
You could sell the same ticket to 500 or 600 people.
Yeah. It'd be so wild.
However many your video stream will support.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool. I might actually go to a basketball game if that existed. Cool. All right. It's probably good. A little thought provoking.
Yep.
Experience. So people should definitely check out the Facebook demo, the Zuckerberg demo. It's pretty wild. And we can link to that in the show notes. All right. That's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye. Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. If you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review in iTunes. Thanks.